big and tall of political talk. Dom and Crute are the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Summer Loving Tour. Dom, we're in one of Hawk's finer neighborhood bars, or more accurately, we're on the deck here. Where's your booking, John Nichols?
Hey, John, he's joining us on the phone. John
awesome.
Nichols, a national correspondent for The Nation magazine. John, sorry you couldn't be here in person, man. Maybe you swing by later for a drink. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates once again, my friend.
Well, I'm honored to be with you. I'm sorry I'm not with you in person because it looks like pretty sunny. It sounds like the deck might be kind of okay.
Oh, it's glorious. And we got lots of nice people with us. And we've left an empty chair a la Clint Eastwood. It's got your name on it, John.
Oh, totally my failure. I apologize.
That's okay, buddy. Let's talk politics. We brought you around to talk politics anyways. John, got to ask you about some of these breaking headlines. The Department of Justice under Trump, it was weaponized. John, I've heard a few of our friends say more Nixonian than Nixon. What's your opinion?
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, Nixon, he's got to be kind of rolling over in whatever grave they put him in, thinking, man, what I could have gotten away with. you know, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that Trump modeled his presidency on Nixon's. There's no question of that. I mean, Trump's the thing that ties them all together is people like Roy Cohn and all these folks that were, you know, going back to Joe McCarthy coming up through Nixon the whole bit. So that's not a secret. But the weird thing about it is that folks like Nixon were a little bit constrained because they actually knew about politics. Trump knew nothing about politics. And so he treated the government like, you know, a businessman would treat his business, and that is to abuse things wherever he can. And now we're starting to find a little bit. I'm going to guarantee you that over the next few weeks and months, we will find so much more. And there will be so incredibly much evidence of the ways in which Trump utilized government agencies to, you know, violate the law, to go after his political foes in ways that Nixon never would have. And the one thing I'll tell you is keep an eye on the FBI, because my bet is there's going to be a lot that comes out there.
Well, John, he could not have weaponized the Department of Justice without some willing co-conspirators over at the Department of Justice, perhaps even including two prior attorney generals. And they were trying awfully hard on the third, if I believe the reporting of the Washington Post. And I probably do, John. Yeah. What about Bill Barr? What about Jeff Sessions? What about criminal indictments, sir?
Absolutely. And, you know, look, there's a couple of things that are important on this. First and foremost, accountability matters. It always matters. And it not only, you know, like punishes those who've done wrong, but it also drives policy. When you hold people to account, you make it much easier to address where violations and vulnerabilities have occurred. And it also makes it easier to hold future leaders to account. So it matters to do it just on that baseline. But then there's another element of it here as well. In addition to a criminal indictment, one thing that needs to be understood is that it is possible for Congress to take all sorts of actions on this. Congress can investigate, and also Congress can hold to account anybody who is taking a federal pension, anybody who is taking benefits of office. And so you can go after Sessions, you can go after Barr, in an impeachment mode. And I think that's worthy of it, because the fact of the matter is that Congress tends to like step away and say, oh, we'll let the Department of Justice, or we'll let prosecutors take care of their own and figure that out. They're not always very good at that. So I would love to see some congressional hearings and investigations. And frankly, where it's possible to go after their pensions, go after any benefits of office they may continue to enjoy.
Absolutely. John Nichols, National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation magazine. John, Senator Mitch McConnell also, again this week, basically showing his cards. If the Republicans come out in the next election, they're going to do everything they can once again to block any sort of Supreme Court candidate coming from Biden. John, do you think the Democrats should believe the Republicans when they tell them this?
Yeah, I think they should believe it. That is very good counsel. The fact of the matter is that Mitch McConnell has gotten so confident about two things. Number one, that they'll retake the Senate in 2022. And number two, that when they do, he'll be able to get away with whatever he wants to get away with. That he's talking about it in public. He's saying in public the things that he used to say in private to the donors. Now, there's a reason he's doing that. It is a show of confidence, but it's sort of a false confidence. He knows that if he talks about what he'll be able to do when he's in power, that helps to mobilize the base. People that are frustrated with him, that don't think he's doing everything they want him to do, get excited about this prospect of, well, when he's back in power, he can do big things. Now, the interesting thing here about it is that he's way extending the threat from where it was in the past to this new place. In the past, he said, dishonestly, that you can't approve a Supreme Court nominee in a presidential election year. Now, he lied about that because it had happened in the past. And then he showed his hypocrisy when he can't turn around and did, in fact, approve a nominee in a presidential year. But all of the focus has been on the presidential year. The key part of his interview with Hugh Hewitt came in a follow-up question where Hewitt said, well, what would you do in 2023? If you're going to block a nomination in 2024, because it's a presidential year, what about the year before that? And McConnell's answer was, well, we'll just have to see what we do when that comes along. You know, he's like held the thing open. And, you know, in Mitch McConnell speak, that's an absolute confirmation that if Mitch McConnell becomes the head of the Senate, if he becomes the majority leader after the 2022 election, he will block any Supreme Court nomination that Joe Biden puts forward.
Well, from one of the worst senators to one of our favorites, Bernie Sanders, saw him quoted, he would not vote for the infrastructure scheme, as he puts it, the bipartisan scheme. Breaking news, apparently Senator Schumer is going to try to push this through reconciliation. John, do you think that's a good idea? Is it about time?
Good idea. It's about time. It's the only idea that they could do. You know, look, this negotiation with the Republicans has been a joke. The Republicans have not taken it seriously. Biden gave him way more space than he should have. But look, they've never come forward with a credible alternative proposal. And frankly, Bernie Sanders did what Bernie Sanders had to do. Now, remember, he's not the first. Ron Wyden, Ed Markey, and others have suggested that they, too, might vote against. So Schumer was starting to see his caucus come apart here. And it wasn't Joe Manchin anymore grabbing the headlines. This was progressives saying, look, we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to be played on this sort of thing. And when Sanders came forward, that's when, you know, Biden and Schumer knew it was over. The deals with the Republicans are done. So now what you move into is an interesting space where we should have been in from the start. And that is that Biden and Schumer have got to negotiate with Democrats. And that's an important thing to understand. The Democratic caucus is not entirely united. There's going to have to be some push and pull. But that becomes a whole lot easier because if you're going to reconciliation, instead of trying to get 10 Republicans to come across, and that's what you needed to have, and they never had 10 Republicans, now you only need to keep your Democratic caucus together. Does that mean they're going to have to negotiate some with Manchin? Yeah, they will. It's a given. Does that mean they're going to have to negotiate some with the progressives on some things? Yes, that too is a given. But this is a doable reality. And frankly, they ought to move fast. They should try and do it, you know, certainly ideally. I don't think they'll make it. But ideally, it'd be great if they tried to do it before the July 4 break. Just go for it. The reality is that we're probably looking at something more like August. But now that we're on this track, it's a good thing. And the critical thing is to keep the major components of what Biden proposed in the package. Don't barter things off. Make sure that it deals with traditional infrastructure as well as broadband build out, the R&D stuff for the next economy, and most importantly, the $400 billion for caregiving, which is essential to helping families kind of get back into the groove after COVID.
Our fine guest, John Nichols from The Nation. John, you're a man after my own heart. I share all of those opinions. I was ready for this a couple of weeks ago, John. But let me ask you, if the Democrats deliver on infrastructure, I mean, I saw a Fox News poll over the weekend. One of the most important topics, according to Fox News, to all voters, infrastructure. If the Democrats can deliver and they don't water it down with Republican input, John, isn't there a greater likelihood they're going to hold the House and maybe even hold the Senate with a greater majority or a majority?
It is absolutely possible. And here's the critical thing. You pass the infrastructure bill, and then you keep on going and do reconciliation for the American Families Act, which has a lot of the social spending that's needed. I mean, the truth is that it's power in politics is sort of what did you do for me lately? And if the Democrats are doing big things and continuing to come through and deliver, that's going to have a positive impact. What the Democrats are proposing is very, very popular. And so passing it is benefits, but continuing to do things is also important. And then there's one final element of this, which our friends in Illinois are very good at. Wisconsinites not so good at it. And that is when you do something, slap your name on it. And, if you're building a bridge, put, brought to you by Joe Biden and the Democrats in the Senate. And if you're, starting a new program, you make it clear that you're doing that. Promote what you're doing. Bottom line here, this is a really important thing. People need to know that electing a Democratic president and a Democratic Senate matter. If they know that, they'll continue to vote for Democrats. If they don't know that because there's a lack of promotion, there's a lack of pushing, and frankly, a lack of action on it, then the Republicans will do what they did after the American Relief Act, which is vote against it and then send out press releases saying, look what I got for you.
John, went on Fox News the other day, and I'm not humble bragging so much as noting all they want to talk about is the crisis at the border and why is that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's fault. That's all they've got, John. And obviously, we've had immigration problems through multiple presidencies. We've seen asylum coming up from former.
You cut out, brother.
Hi, everyone. This is Brian with the Devil's Advocates. The Devils have cut out just for a moment. I do have John Nichols here. John, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Brian. How are you doing? What happened there?
Feeling great. The guys got disconnected for just a minute here. Once they come back, they'll jump in here. We got about 2 minutes to the break, and then we'll figure it out. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and play a song on the way out. We're going to go to break, and then when we come back, we'll have some more Devils. Any of our affiliates will be going to break just about a minute and a half early, and it'll be just fine. We're going to figure out what the connection situation is, and we'll be right back with John Nichols here. We're live with the Javed Monkey. The guys are coming back right now, possibly.
Oh, okay. I'm sticking with you, man.
Oh, yeah. All right. There's John. It was our fault, John. I blame Luke because he's standing here trying to fix it. What was my question precisely? Yeah. If the Republicans have to bring up the border constantly, John, they really don't have an attack that will be effective against Joe Biden, at least in my opinion, sir.
You're totally right. And, the evidence of that is that in 2018, when they were, Republicans were looking to be in trouble. Remember what Trump and the Republicans did? They were suddenly talking about, ooh, the migrant caravans are heading toward the border. And they went wild on it. They made it the central theme of their 2018 push. And you know what it did for them? Absolutely nothing. It delivered nothing for them. Because the fact of the matter is, immigration is something people are concerned about. But people have a lot of concerns that come from all sorts of different directions. People would like to see real action on immigration reform, but it isn't because they hate immigrants. And it isn't because they're, freaked out that somebody's coming across the border. What they'd like to see is just a more orderly and more functional system. And that makes sense. But to try and, demagogue this issue. Now, if they want to do that, so be it. Let the Republicans do it.
John, got to cut you short, man. All out of time. Come see us at the Jade Monkey at the bar. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Thanks, John.
put your name on it.